WHYY.
Welcome to Radio Times. I'm Jeff Brady, filling in for Marty Moskowain. This hour, it's Ballot Talks, our weekly look at all things election-related. And in this edition, we're going to compare Pennsylvania's candidates for governor and their approaches to a few of the issues facing the state. Later in the hour, we'll be speaking with WHYY reporters Holly Otterbein and Mariel Segarra about Republican incumbent Tom Corbett and his Democratic challenger Tom Wolf, and their respective views on jobs, taxes, and the state's economy. Then Katie Culinary of State Impact Pennsylvania will join us to talk about the candidates' takes on environment and energy policy. But first, education.
Tom Corbett cut $1 billion from our schools. He took an axe to education.
If Wolf is willing to lie about your kid's education, what won't he lie about?
Joining me to talk about the candidates and their different claims relating to education and education funding is Dale Mezzacapa, contributing editor for the Philadelphia Public School Notebook and Independent Quarterly. Welcome to Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
So this education, a big issue for voters in Pennsylvania in this election. I saw a Franklin and Marshall poll earlier this month ranking education as the number one issue people are considering in determining who they'll pick for governor. Is that surprising?
No, because education affects just about everybody. Everyone either has a kid in school or helps to pay for schools. It's an economic issue. If the schools are not good, it affects the economy. If students aren't prepared, that's a big issue. So, and it's also a very huge chunk of the state budget goes to education, in addition to local taxes. So it's not surprising at all that it would be a huge issue in the campaign.
So education is a number one issue for a lot of people, and the number one education issue, I guess, would be funding.
Right.
Yeah. And we heard in those advertisement, those clips there of the commercials that you'll hear on other stations, but mercifully not here, except for when we put them in a news story, is Tom Wolf's line that Corbett cut $1 billion from education. A lot of people have been hearing that. Is that true?
Well, it depends on how you count. Basically, since Tom Corbett took office, school districts have been seeing less money from the state. The governor's position, Corbett's position, is that the cuts were made largely before he took office. He inherited a big deficit in the state budget in general, and that he has actually increased education aid, if you count the basic education subsidy and the various other line items that go to education. What happened is that during the Rendell administration, the last few years of the Rendell administration, there was, as you recall, a stimulus package in which a lot of money was sent to states during the recession to shore up the economy. Federal stimulus policy. And the state of Pennsylvania, starting in the Rendell administration, decided to use some of that money to replace state aid rather than raise their own state appropriation. When Governor Corbett took office, he basically continued doing that, but he also raised the actual basic ed subsidy amount from the state, not including the stimulus. Then he also says that, you know, he's counting different things. Hmm. You know, so he wants to count, for instance, the amount of money that the state puts into to teacher pensions as part of education spending as evidence that he's actually increased education spending as opposed to decreasing it. But that's not money that goes to the classrooms. So the competing claims basically are around the fact that if you don't count the stimulus, you can if you do count the stimulus and the fact that the total amount of money available to school districts went down, then Wolf is correct in saying that Corbett cut money from education. If you want to count it the way the governor wants to count it, then it's not so true. But there's also different amounts depending on, as I said, whether you count the pensions, whether you count other things.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I should mention is that Governor Corbett did cut other things from the education line items besides the stimulus money, the difference that can be accounted for by the loss of the stimulus, including biggest item that affected Philadelphia in particular was charter school reimbursement money was eliminated. And Philadelphia, which has, you know, 67,000 students in charters and 86 charter schools, got, you know, lost $100 million that way. So, you know, as I said, it's a big campaign debate, but the bottom line for many people is what's happening in school districts, and they're seeing less money coming from the state.
And apparently the candidates are quite comfortable boiling it down to one line.
Well, that's how campaigns are.
Yeah, that's how they are. And so Corbett, of course, Governor Corbett blames the previous administration for some of those difficulties, but also blames unions and teacher unions specifically for creating some of the funding problems, right? How's that working for him?
Well, I mean, I don't know how it's working for him in terms of how people are buying it, but you know, education is paid for by a combination of local, state, and some federal money, which you know has nothing to do with the stimulus, which goes to school districts, you know, based on whether they have a lot of students in poverty and things like that. So, the idea of the state aid is supposed to make up for differences in, you know, property wealth in various school districts, and so, you know, so the idea that that they're increasing, you know, that it's local school districts that negotiate teacher contracts, and the personnel costs of how much it costs to pay teachers is the largest single item in any school district's budget. And so I think the governor's point is that, you know, the unions keep getting raises, keep demanding more money. And that's what's driving up school costs, and local school districts are negotiating these contracts, and then if they can't pay for them, they say, well, we need more state aid, and he's not really on board with that. I think he also has a fundamentally different belief about how teachers should be paid. He thinks it should be more performance-based. He thinks that the usual ways of paying teachers based on their experience and their education credentials is outdated or not effective. And so he would say that that the unions, you know, that's why he would say that he would say the unions are an issue.
And so, in general, are the unions, the different school unions, teachers unions, and the others, are they pretty enthusiastic Wolf supporters? I mean,
well,
are
yeah,
they
I mean, they are. I mean, generally or traditionally, the unions are on the Democrats. And yes, I mean, they're definitely working on behalf of Tom Wolf's candidacy.
I keep hearing about developing a new funding formula or a fair funding formula for schools. Help me understand what the candidates are saying about that.
Well, you'll often hear people say, if you follow what the advocacy groups who are interested in education say, is that Pennsylvania does not have a funding formula. It certainly doesn't have a fair funding formula. And so, in addition to, you know, the states everywhere helping to pay for education, the main point of the state's share is to help redress, as I said before, imbalances in property wealth and community wealth. So most states, many states have a way of distributing the money. How do you, once you decide that you have all this pot of money to distribute to school districts, how do you do it? And that's a very complicated issue, and it always gets tied up in politics. I mean, on bottom, it's supposed to be based on, well, how much does a school district need? Not just the property wealth of its community, but what the characteristics of their students. You know, are they very poor? Is there a high concentration of poverty? Are there a lot of English language learners? What are their needs? And the Pennsylvania over the years, and if you read the latest edition of the notebook, which is coming out this week, which is all about school funding, you'll see a more detailed explanation. But basically, Pennsylvania has abandoned a sort of rational way of doing this. It had formulas over the years, and after a while it started attaching different things to it. And ultimately it's sort of now based on sort of a political, it has some relationship to the issues I just mentioned, but it basically has to do with politics. So they decide, that the legislature and the governor will decide, well, how much money is available, and then there's how to distribute it is really, you know, subject to the whims of politics, and it in the view of many is no longer fair. So, you know, the idea is that poorer districts will get more money from the state, and that wealthier districts, you know, won't get as much. But you know, part of what the formula builds into it, or the system that Pennsylvania has built into it, is the fact that every district is going to get something, and that you can't reduce the amount that any district got before, even if their population goes down. Mm-hmm. So it's caused a whole lot of inequities, anomalies, and a lot of districts, not just Philadelphia, but a whole lot of other districts around the state have, don't have, as much money, or don't have enough money to adequately educate their students. In the Rendell administration, there was an effort to make sense of all this, and there was a costing out study which tried to determine what every school district needed and how to distribute it. It was pretty expensive. It said that districts needed $4 billion more dollars altogether, and that the state should contribute more. And when Governor Corbett took office, that way of distributing the money basically went away.
Okay. Well, let's talk about another issue that's an issue even outside of Pennsylvania, Common Core. And this is that effort to establish consistent educational standards across the country. How do the candidates come down on Common Core?
Well, actually, I don't think it's not been a huge issue in this campaign. Tom Wolf, I couldn't find much of anything that he said about that. The only interesting thing during the campaign that happened regarding Common Core was that Governor Corbett, who was behind, and whose education department, everybody was behind putting together what they call the Pennsylvania Core, which is not exactly the Common Core, but it was an effort to do the same thing. It was an effort to change the testing, increase the rigor, increase the standards, prepare more students for the global economy. He all of a sudden made a statement, which angered a lot of people, including some Republicans who had been working on this, that the Common Core, he was going to do everything he could to disassociate Pennsylvania from the Common Core, and he had compared it to Obamacare. And it apparently was an effort to sort of, speak to the voters who don't like the president and who don't like to...
So little red meat for the base.
Yeah, but in fact, his campaign website still talks about the Pennsylvania Core, increasing rigor for students, preparing students for the global economy. So as I said, other than that, it really hasn't been a big topic.
Okay. And so you've covered education in Philadelphia for a long time. As you sort of consider the campaign over the next month and education, what kind of things are you going to be looking out for?
Well, the debate yesterday, which was held in Philadelphia in the very shadow of the school district headquarters right just a block away, it was pretty clear that that Governor Corbett was very intent on getting across his viewpoints on the that he has not cut education funding. The other thing that I would look for is them talking about charter schools are a big issue, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and that they will each try to get their viewpoints across that. Which one of them is more for education and for, helping school districts educate their kids adequately.
Okay, we're going to have to leave our education discussion there, but thank you so much, Dale Mezzacapa, for coming in and talking with us. She's from the Philadelphia Public School Notebook. We're comparing the candidates for governor in this edition of Ballot Talks on Radio Times. After the break, we'll switch from education to taxes, job, and the economy. If you want to join the conversation, the telephone number is 1-888-477-9499.
Supporting WHYY Wheaton Arts in Millville, New Jersey presents the Festival of Fine Craft, Saturday and Sunday, October 4th and 5th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., both days, rain or shine. This arts festival celebrates the best of American craft. The event features traditional and contemporary work from over 130 juried artists, plus indoor and outdoor craft demonstrations, hands-on family activities, musical entertainment, specialty foods, and the popular glass pumpkin patch. Details online at wheatonarts.org.
Supporting WHYY, the Cooper Neurological Institute offers a full range of neurological and neurosurgical interventions, including minimally invasive brain surgery and complex spinal procedures. From epilepsy, migraine, and movement disorder care to Leksell Gamma Knife Perfection Technology and neuro-oncology services, Cooper provides access to specialists at 10 locations in South Jersey and Pennsylvania. For a consultation, cooperhealth.org/CNI or 856-968-7965.
Morristown Friends School proudly supports WHYY and is hosting an admissions open house on Sunday, October 19th at 2 p.m. Founded in 1785, Morristown Friends offers rigorous academics coupled with a spiritual and ethical education program for students in preschool through grade 12. More information, videos, and all open house dates can be found online at mfriends.org. That's mfriends.org.
Welcome back to Radio Times. This is Ballot Talks Thursday. I'm Jeff Brady, filling in for Marty Moskowain. We're comparing the two Toms, Corbett and Wolf, and their different takes on a variety of issues facing the state. Later, we'll hear about their approaches to energy and environmental policy. But first, we'll hear about what they each have to say about the state's economy, jobs, and taxes.
Millionaire Tom Wolf says as governor, he'll raise the state income tax on many middle-class Pennsylvania families.
Get real. It's Tom Corbett who's been sticking it to the middle class on taxes.
We're joined in the studio now by two WHYY reporters, Holly Otterbein, who's been looking at the claims that the campaigns have been making in regards to personal income taxes. Welcome, Holly.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And we're also joined by Mariel Segura from Keystone Crossroads. That's a statewide public radio collaboration devoted to covering the issues facing Pennsylvania's urban centers. She's here to tell us about these candidates and their stances on employment and the job rate. Welcome to Radio Times.
Thanks.
All right, so taxes and jobs. Holly, let's turn to you first. Tom Wolf wants to change the state's income taxes, but he's been pretty vague about exactly what he's planning. Start with what he's trying to accomplish there.
Sure. So in Pennsylvania right now, whether you are a janitor or a CEO, you pay an income tax rate of about 3%. Tom Wolf wants to make that tax more progressive so that middle class and poor residents would get a tax break under his plan, and wealthier residents would get a tax increase. A hypothetical example of how that would work, you might raise the tax to, say, 5%, exempt the first $30,000 of income from taxes for everyone. That would mean if you make $30,000 a year, you would pay nothing. If you make $40,000 a year, you would only pay $10,000 on it. I don't want to get too wonky, but essentially what that means is there would be a breaking off point where if you make a certain amount of money a year, you would end up getting a tax hike. If you make less than that, you would get a tax break.
And you say that's an example because he doesn't really have like a very specific plan out, right?
Exactly. He's very short on specifics right now. He hasn't said what the income tax rate would be under his plan or where that breaking off point that I was talking about would be. So the Corbett campaign has been smacking him for this, not surprisingly. But journalists have been starting to ask questions too. The Philadelphia Inquirer editorial board took him to task recently for lacking details.
Hmm. And so Governor Corbett doesn't just slam him on the lack of details. He says it's unconstitutional. What's that argument?
Yeah, so Pennsylvania has a uniformity clause, and that means just
this
as
is in the state constitution?
Exactly. Okay. Just as its name implies, it means all taxes must be uniform. Corbett says Wolf's plan would violate that. Wolf says that's not the case. I checked in with several tax lawyers, and I will say there's a healthy debate out there about who's right. What they all seem to agree on is that there would be some sort of constitutional challenge.
All right. So, Holly, what is Governor Corbett's campaign message when it comes to taxes?
He supports the state's uniformity clause. He says he would not support a change that would allow for Wolf's plan to exist. He believes the rule ensures fairness and that we currently have one of the lowest income tax rates in the country. On other tax issues, he signed a no tax pledge during the 2010 gubernatorial campaign. And he has resisted calls for a severance tax on natural gas drilling. He believes that it would be unhealthy for business.
Hmm. We're talking about, this is a Thursday, so Ballot Talks. We're talking about the election that's coming up here in about a month and comparing the candidates for governor on a variety of issues. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. You can also email us, radiotimes@whyy.org, or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let's turn to jobs and the economy. Mariel, why don't you outline the different approaches that the candidates are taking on jobs and the economy?
Sure. Well, Governor Corbett focuses a lot on spending cuts and fiscal restraint, and he uses a few numbers as evidence of the success of those policies. One is Pennsylvania's created about 180,000 private sector jobs during his time in office. And two, the state unemployment rate has dropped from 8.1% when he took office to 5.8% in August of 2014, this year. Tom Wolf talks a lot about using education as an engine for economic development, especially in high school and college. And he wants to partner colleges with companies so students have the skills they need to get jobs in the state. He also talks about creating jobs in manufacturing and tech and wants to start a cash incentive program for companies that create jobs, you know.
So the economy has turned around a little bit, and Governor Corbett certainly touts his economic record. Can he take credit for the state's rebound?
Data can say a lot of different things depending on who's interpreting it. Corbett often touts the 180,000 private sector jobs number, but if you include public sector job losses, that number really is more like 128,000, which seems like a pretty good number. But then you compare us to other states, smaller states. Pennsylvania is a larger state. There are more people. So our number is going to look more impressive than it might actually be. The governor also talks about the drop in the unemployment rate. There are some problems with using the unemployment rate as a measure of economic health. You know, for one thing, people drop out of the labor force and they're not counted in the unemployment rate, and that's a problem in Pennsylvania. But even if we look at the unemployment rate, it's in Pennsylvania, the jobless rate has basically tracked the national economy. So it's hard to say whether it's Governor Corbett's policies that have influenced the jobless rate here.
Well, and really, when you think about it, how much influence does a governor have over the economy and jobs? I mean, there's obviously there must be some. But
a lot less than people think. I've talked to liberal economists, conservative economists, people who fall somewhere in the middle, and what they all seem to agree on is that politicians, you know, they have to say they're job creators to get elected. It's good PR. But the reality is more complex. The state economy is really linked to the national economy and the decisions of the Federal Reserve and the president and Congress. A governor has very little power to influence it. The governor can control education and infrastructure spending, which can affect jobs at the margin. And they can also give out corporate subsidies, which they say create jobs. But a lot of those things either affect the economy long term or they can only nudge the jobless rate in one direction or another.
That's Mario Seguera with Keystone Crossroads, a reporter here at WHYY. And we're comparing the two candidates for governor, their stands on taxes and jobs and the economy. If you want to join the conversation, if you have a question or two for our experts in the studio here, the telephone number is 1-888-477-9499, or you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. And hard to stay away from taxes, Holly. So glad to have you here. Before Governor Corbett's first term, he signed one of those pledges, those I'm not going to raise taxes pledges.
Sure did.
And has he kept to that?
Governor Corbett says he's done his best during a rather sluggish economy and some budget problems in the state. However, he has signed legislation that increased several fees and a big transportation bill that increased a gas tax. Now, Corbett says the latter is not a tax hike because it removed an artificial cap on taxes, but hey, the result is kind of the same, isn't it?
Yeah, and certainly his opponents want to call that a tax, I guess. And during the first debate, it was really interesting to watch the moderator try to pin Governor Corbett down on whether he would sign that pledge again. He didn't answer during that debate. Any more info since then on that, whether he's going to do that?
No, it didn't come up in the second debate yesterday. And actually, right before this show, I asked his campaign again if there was an update, and a spokesman dodged the question. I will say it looks like there's some sort of back and forth going on with him because he reportedly told the Associated Press before the first debate that he was not planning to renew his pledge.
Is that important to a lot of voters here in Pennsylvania, do you think?
I do think it matters to voters. Governor Corbett would say that the pledge was not simply about a piece of paper, but about a promise about how he would govern, and that overall he has kept that pledge to keep taxes low.
All right. Again, we're talking about the candidates for governor and their positions on some important issues. It's been a few years where we've had a difficult economy and things have turned around a little bit. So taxes, jobs, and the economy may be a little lower on the agenda this time. Polls show that education is the number one priority, but still taxes, jobs, and the economy important to voters in Pennsylvania. If you have questions for our reporters in the studio, the telephone number is 1-888-477-9499, the email address radiotimes@whyy.org, and the Twitter address is @WHYY Radio Times. And Marielle, let's turn back to you and let's talk a little bit about corporate subsidies. This is the kind of these big carrots that states often sort of wave in front of big companies to get them to locate in their state. Where do the candidates stand on corporate subsidies?
Governor Corbett believes in fiscal restraint, but at the same time, during his administration, the state has given millions to companies, whether that's to stay or relocate in Pennsylvania for R&D tax credits, you know, to pharmaceutical companies like Google, General Electric, film tax credits, job creation tax credits. Tom Wolf says he would get rid of all the programs in Pennsylvania that don't create jobs, all the tax incentive programs, and replace them with cash incentives for companies that expand their payroll by $1 million in Pennsylvania. And these cash incentives would be taken back if the company doesn't keep those jobs for 5 years. So the Wolf campaign says that this program would be stricter than what's already in place with job creation tax credits, in part because it's giving money for jobs that have already been created and not for a promise of jobs. At the same time, you know, both candidates would probably give corporate subsidies when they get into office. As one economist I talked to put it, while they're on the campaign trail, the candidates try to differentiate themselves. But at the end of the day, when they're the governor, their practices on the economy are often not that different.
Well, and when you're governor, it's hard to sort of give up the lure of being able to send out that press release that we just brought this big company to Pennsylvania, and they're going to hire 500 or 600 people. That's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Holly, let's go back to you. And we had a debate yesterday, and it's fun to follow your tweets.
Thanks for doing so. @HollyAtterbein, everyone.
There you go. And during the debate yesterday, the state budgets came up, and Wolf said Governor Corbett cooked the books last year. What did he mean by that?
Yeah, the two candidates were not pulling any punches yesterday. I mean, they were really criticizing each other and making a lot of statements like that. Corbett actually shot back after Wolf said that and asked him if he was accusing him of a crime. Wolf said no. What he was saying was that Corbett has overestimated revenues in his budget plan and relied on one-time gimmicky transfers and ended up with a big budget shortfall. So Corbett's response to that, he defends his budgets. He says they were really and truly balanced and that the revenues just simply did not come in, and that this has happened in other administrations.
Well, and states are required to balance their budgets. And so sometimes when the expenses are high and the income is low, you got to get a little creative, I guess. That's pretty much the argument that Governor Corbett is offering here.
Well, I don't know if he would say that quite that way, Jeff. I mean, the Wolf campaign says that if you talk to some of Governor Corbett's top aides about the numbers that he put in there, that they can't make sense of them. So, you know, but Corbett, again, says that it was really and truly balanced. And look, many times before, revenues have not come in as were expected. That happens.
The pension funding issue, huge issue for not only the state, but also for a lot of municipalities around the state. Where do the candidates fall on that pension funding issue?
Yeah, so just to back up for a second, right now, Pennsylvania doesn't have the money that it needs to pay all of the pension benefits that it's promised to workers. Its credit rating was actually downgraded recently by Fitch Ratings, which cited pension issues as part of that. to fix that, Governor Corbett supports a plan that would move workers into a hybrid pension plan, which includes aspects similar to a 401k. Right now, they have a traditional pension plan, which basically guarantees checks to workers. Tom Wolf supports traditional pension plans for workers. He says that state workers have they've put in their fair share into the pension system. They've paid what they promised, and that the state has not. So he says the state's kicked the can down the road and he's not going to do it anymore. But other than that, he essentially supports the status quo. He has talked about borrowing money in the short run to pay down some of that pension debt. So that's a little bit of a different take on it, but essentially keep the pension plan that they have.
Hmm. Well, and if candidate Tom Wolf has sort of enjoyed the support of unions, I guess it would be hard to come along and say, yeah, we want to switch up your pension plans.
Yeah, sure. And the Corbett campaign will say he's, you know, getting a lot of money from public sector unions. And so that's something worth noting.
So we have just about a month before the election. Education, as we talked about, is going to certainly be a big issue, but jobs, the economy, the environment are going to be an important issue. What kind of things are you going to be looking for in the next month?
I'm going to be looking for more details from Tom Wolf on his personal income tax plan. I think that the pressure is probably going to build a little bit, and so I'll be looking to see what trickles out, what he's forced to reveal, because ultimately he is the front runner right now. He has a sizable lead, and I think there's an argument there that he owes it to his, you know, potential future constituents to let them know what his income tax plan really is. He says that he needs more information before he reveals more specifics. He says he needs to know exactly what kind of shortfall the state currently has, what kind of hole the governor, Governor Corbett, has left the future governor with. That's what he said at the debate yesterday. But at the same time, he does have a specific rate for that natural gas severance tax. So, you know, what's the difference?
Yeah, well, and I guess for a candidate, especially a challenger who's holding such a large lead, it's probably difficult to get too risky and get out there and start offering specifics when the polls show you don't really need to do that at this point, at least.
Yeah, politically, it makes perfect sense. Why would you, you know, allow yourself to be dragged down by the details and possibly have ads saying, you know, you're going to raise money on this person and that person when you've got such a big lead?
Okay. And Marielle, what kind of things are you going to be looking for as the election starts to get closer here?
I think I'd agree with Holly on the more details front. When it comes to corporate subsidies and workforce development programs, particularly from the Wolf campaign, because he is the front runner.
Sure. All right. And that is Marielle Segarra, reporter for WHYY and Keystone Crossroads, a public radio collaboration with a couple other stations in the state, WITF and WESA and WPSU. And that collaboration explores the challenges facing cities across the state of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, it was great to be here.
And Holly Otterbein, also a reporter here at WHYY. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Next in this edition of Ballot Talks on Radio Times, we switched to the candidates' positions on energy and the environment. Katie Colinari from State Impact Pennsylvania is going to join us. If you have a question or a comment about our discussion, you can give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Also, you can send an email to radiotimes@whyy.org or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We'll be back after a break.
Supporting WHYY, Solbury School, a college preparatory day and boarding school for 7th through 12th grade. Located in New Hope, Pennsylvania, Solbury School offers an average class size of 11 students and is dedicated to helping every young person discover the scholar, the athlete, the artist, and the leader within them. Solbury School's open house is Sunday, October 19th from 1 to 4 p.m. Details at 215-862-5261 or solbury.org.
Anishinaabe Theater Company supports WHYY, dedicated to staging contemporary plays from Ireland, England, Scotland, and Wales. Anishinaabe is currently presenting the spy thriller Ciphers by English playwright Dawn King, directed by Tom Ring. Ciphers, on stage October 8th through October 26th at the Off-Broad Street Theater, 1636 Sansom Street. More information is online at tellthestory.us.
Doctors are committed to making sure patients stay healthy, but who takes care of the healthcare system as a whole? If you work in public health, you do, and Jefferson School of Population Health can help you to join this growing field with their Master of Public Health program. Register for an information session on October 15th at 5:30 p.m. for classes starting in January by visiting jefferson.edu/pophealthinfosession. Jefferson supports WHYY.
Welcome back to Ballot Talks here on Radio Times. I'm Jeff Brady, filling in for Marty Moskowain. We're comparing the two Toms for governor this hour, and we turn now to one of the most pressing issues in the state, environmental and energy policy.
Down in the ground, Pennsylvania has deep deposits of natural gas. But because of Governor Corbett, we're the only state in the country that doesn't make oil and gas companies pay an extraction tax.
Tom Corbett, helping establish Pennsylvania as a leading energy supplier to America and the rest of the world.
That last ad made me want to sit up straight. We're joined now by Katie Culinary, who's been following these campaigns closely as a reporter for WHYY and State Impact Pennsylvania. Katie, thanks for joining us for Ballot Talks on Radio Times.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
So we heard Tom Wolf talk about it there in the first ad. Probably the biggest issue is how the state's natural gas industry should be taxed, right?
Right. That's sort of the big issue of this campaign, right? Governor Corbett maintains that the current system, charging drillers an impact fee for every well they drill, has been the right way to go to support the industry and make it grow. Tom Wolf has really waged a battle over this severance tax. It wasn't passed under the Rendell administration. Corbett got the impact fee passed, but he really wants to see a 5% severance tax on natural gas production.
And would a severance tax raise more than an impact fee?
Well, you know, there's an ongoing debate, and there's been a debate in Pennsylvania about this for years. It's hard to do an apples-to-apples comparison between Pennsylvania and other states that do have a severance tax, as, you know, Wolf sort of pointed out in that ad there. For example, Texas has a 7.5 severance tax on natural gas production.
7.5%?
Right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are other, you know, subsidies and tax breaks that sort of lessen the bite there. And that state also has no corporate net income tax. Pennsylvania has a quite high corporate net income tax. So it's very difficult to, you know, sort of make a comparison between Pennsylvania and other states. But Wolf and to some degree the public are convinced that Pennsylvania is being shortchanged. You know, when they sort of think about it, a fee that is charged for every well drilled versus something where you tax the volume of all this record-breaking amounts of natural gas that we're producing, you know, I think to a lot of people's minds it's sort of, you know, clear that there might be more money to get that Pennsylvania is missing out on.
Well, I guess it's easier to wrap your head around the idea of the state gets this percent of all of the revenue that comes from natural gas. The number of wells drilled is seems a little more opaque to most people, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that polls have been sort of reflecting that while a lot of voters are supportive of the gas industry, they really feel like, you know, the tax would be the better way to go.
Plus, it's what other states do, so I
right.
guess Pennsylvania's kind of out by itself here, or do other states have impact fees?
You know, that's actually a really good question. I don't believe other states have an impact fee, but don't quote me on that. I have to double check. I haven't heard of it. It seems to be something
pretty unique. We've got two energy reporters here, and I've never heard of it either. So
right.
I think we're pretty safe in saying that there isn't one out there. But we're talking about energy and environment with Katie Culinary of State Impact Pennsylvania here at WHYY. If you want to join the conversation, if you have a question, she's been spending a lot of time doing a lot of research, and she could probably answer your question. The telephone number is 1-888-477-9499, or you can email us radiotimes@whyy.org or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. The natural gas industry in Pennsylvania has been an extraordinary success, that really no one sort of an extraordinary economic success, we should say, that no one really anticipated. And a lot of that success has happened while Tom Corbett is governor. But then you look at the polls and he's pretty far down in the polls. Is there any indication that he's really benefiting from the success that's occurred under his watch?
Well, no. There was actually a recent poll that came out a couple of weeks ago where, again, voters expressed, it came out from the University of Michigan, where voters expressed support. Majority support for the drilling industry here, but we're very critical of the way the Corbett administration has handled that. And I think that's because of the many environmental concerns that I think the public feels haven't been adequately dealt with under his administration.
One big issue has been whether or not to drill in state parks and in state forests. Where do the candidates come down on that issue?
Right. The Corbett administration recently, a few months ago, lifted essentially a moratorium that had been placed under the Rendell administration on new leasing for gas drilling in state parks and forests, effectively ending that moratorium by issuing a new order that has been tied up in the courts. There's been a lawsuit, and there's going to be another hearing on that next week. So new leasing has not happened, but the Corbett administration has taken steps to add leasing in the forest because of revenue from the royalties that would come from drilling on those lands. However, Wolf has expressed interest in keeping that moratorium, I think largely reflecting the public interest, which is that, you know, they support gas drilling but don't want to see it happen everywhere, that there are certain parts of the state that should remain sacred.
Let's turn to climate change, because whenever you're talking about energy and the environment, you can't not talk about climate change.
Exactly.
Scientists certainly have reached their conclusions about climate change. What do the candidates say?
Well, Tom Wolf believes in man-made climate change, and he believes that Pennsylvania has a significant role to play in addressing that. There is a climate change plan that the state has, and there are certain timelines that they need to submit plans for how they're going to deal with certain aspects of climate change. And one of his campaign promises is to make sure that those plans get passed on time. Governor Corbett actually doubts the scientific consensus around climate change. He believes that man-made global warming is still a subject of debate, which is something that, you know, as we've seen, especially when it comes to political donors, has become an issue. There's environmentalist Tom Steyer, I believe his name is, who has made it a mission to give a lot of money to campaigns this season candidates who believe in climate change. And so he has made it clear that he will be supporting Tom Wolf.
Well, and that would be a tricky issue, I would think, for Governor Corbett, because I saw him speaking over in Pittsburgh at a rally before a bunch of coal miners as the EPA was working on its new power plant rules. And he's got some big support in that community that could be affected by it.
He does, yeah. And this leads us to the EPA's proposed clean power plan, which would require Pennsylvania to cut 32% of its carbon emissions over the next 15 years. And it doesn't seem to me like that's emerged as a major issue in the campaign, not like the severance tax has, Jeff, but it's still something that divides the candidates. Governor Corbett has called that plan a war on coal because it's clear that coal-fired power plants will be closing possibly as a result of this rule, or will need to spend millions of dollars to really, you know, clean up their act. And that will result in the loss of lots of jobs. And these are people who are in his base. Governor Corbett joined 14 other governors in sending a letter to the president questioning the EPA's authority to propose this rule, whereas Tom Wolf is relatively supportive of it. When I asked his campaign this week, you know, his thoughts on this rule, again, the big criticism of Tom Wolf right now is that because of his big lead, he's being rather vague. So when I asked outright, does he support the rule, I did not get a yes or no answer. What I got was, you know, yes, he believes that this is something that, Pennsylvania should be a part of, and that, you know, will help climate change and to address that issue. But Pennsylvania needs to make sure that it has a fair plan to you know, because all of the states will have their own, will be able to come up with their own plan to reach their carbon emission targets. One of the things that Tom Wolf has also proposed as part of this is increasing the state's alternative energy portfolio standard. That's a law that was passed back in 2004 requiring utilities to purchase increasing amounts of alternative energy sources like wind and solar, biomass, as a way to, you know, increase, you know, more renewable energy sources that will cut carbon emissions. And part of his plan for the EPA will be to increase that portfolio standard. That's a promise he has made for his first year if he's elected governor. However, we can't get any specifics on by how much he would be increasing that portfolio standard.
So the issue of regulating the state's natural gas industry, that comes up a lot. A lot of environmental groups are interested in raising that issue. Where do the candidates come down on how the natural gas industry is regulated now and how well?
Right. Well, I think, you know, there's a pretty clear divide. Governor Corbett believes that that his administration has really handled the boom well, that the state has some of the most stringent environmental regulations on the books out there, and that Pennsylvania has kind of served as a model for other states that are seeing their own gas booms start to blossom. Under the Corbett administration, Act 13 was passed, which was the major overhaul of the state's oil and gas drilling laws. Tom Wolf has been critical of that. He's pointed to the recent audit by the Auditor General criticizing the DEP for, among other things, poor record keeping, the way it handled drilling-related water contamination complaints. And he really believes that there should be, and this is part of the severance tax plan, that there should be even more money given to the DEP to enforce the regulations that are on the books.
Let's go to the telephone, and we have Bruce on the line. Bruce, welcome to Radio Times.
Thanks, Jeff. Hi, Jeff and Katie. I had the privilege of playing kickball with Katie over the weekend, and I got to tell you, she swings a mean leg.
well, then you have permission to ask a tough question, I guess.
That's exactly what I'd like to do. And I'd be delighted if both of you could weigh in on this. You know, in Philadelphia, all the time you're running into environmental groups who have a petition in their hand and say, sign this, and it says, stop fracking now. And, you know, I always end up in this big, long conversation with them because, well, I am very concerned about environmental issues surrounding fracking. But on the other hand, I'm pretty sure that's not only is that not going to happen, but I'm pretty sure that that's not the best route to deal with these concerns. And I wondered, you know, what do you guys do when you see some energetic young person who's trying to do the right thing? Like, I really don't know how to deal with that situation.
Well, as reporters, we generally don't sign petitions. That's
right.
What it's rules that we're required to follow. But I do think you raise an interesting question, because there is a sizable group of people in the country who would like to stop hydraulic fracturing. And I wonder if there's no candidate in this race that would want to stop hydraulic fracturing. Right?
No, there wasn't in the primary. None of the Democrats who were running We're in favor of a total, complete moratorium on drilling in the state. Tom Corbett certainly isn't, as you heard, you know, from the ads. He believes that this is a major force for energy independence for the country, and really putting Pennsylvania on the map. Tom Wolf, you know, again, is, you know, if he's pushing the severance tax, clearly he doesn't want to stop the drilling either, but he believes that there's a way to have better accountability on the part of the regulators, and to really, you know, enforce these rules better. And he doesn't necessarily believe that there should be drilling everywhere. He's made it clear that he is not in favor of expanding leasing in state parks and forests. He also wants to leave the Delaware River watershed alone, which has also been a contentious issue in the past. Governor Corbett has been one of the governors of the four states that share that watershed, who's been pushing very hard to get the sort of interstate commission that governs the watershed to pass rules to allow drilling in some of the northeastern counties that sit over the Marcellus Shale. Tom Wolf believes that we should leave that moratorium in place.
So let's move back just quickly to the issue of climate change. We kind of laid out where each of the candidates are. Has that come up much in the campaign?
You know, it doesn't seem to me that it has, other than when, you know, reporters from State Impact Pennsylvania and other sources ask questions. But again, it has come up in terms of, you know, when you see some national reporting about, you know, big donors, folks like Tom Steyer, who are really targeting their, you know, donations towards candidates who believe in climate change. But otherwise, you know, in the debate yesterday, I don't believe it came up. And it doesn't seem to be, you know, a major issue among voters that I've heard, unless you speak to, you know, maybe again, you know, the environmental groups who, you know, want to see a governor who will take steps to address climate change and who won't, you know, make efforts to stymie or to question the EPA's climate change plans. Hmm.
So is it pretty clear that environmental groups have kind of lined up behind behind Tom Wolf?
Yes, okay. I would say that's very clear.
And what about the coal industry? That's an industry that certainly feels like it's under a lot of pressure and under a lot of fire. Where is the coal industry? Is generally, I mean, it's hard to say, like, the coal industry is behind this person because right. It's a collection of companies and workers, but right. Can we make broad statements about the coal industry?
Right, and it's difficult to make the same case for the gas industry, but I would argue that on the whole, you know, they have been supportive of Tom Corbett. And actually, if you go to the State Impact Pennsylvania website, just yesterday we had a story about how the gas industry is, you know, sort of nervously awaiting the election because, you know, if you're paying attention to the polls, you're sort of seeing on the horizon some very big changes for them. It's on the whole a very, you know, conservative leaning industry. They're looking ahead to see that there may be a Democrat in the governor's mansion starting next year and that, you know, there may be a new tax on the horizon. Even Republican leaders in the state have sort of almost started talking about a severance tax as an inevitable.
So we have just about 45 seconds left here, but I want to ask you what you're going to be looking for in the last month before this election in November.
Well, I'm looking for a lot more rhetoric about the severance tax, that's for sure. And I'm also looking to see, you know, if some of these issues really start to, you know, as we get even closer, if some of these issues like climate change, the EPA's proposal, environmental protection, really start to, you know, get a lot hotter as we get closer to Election Day.
Hmm. And you'll be looking for some of those specifics, like you said. That's
yes. I think that's sort of probably the common theme today, Jeff.
Yeah, that does seem to be the common theme. But I guess if you're sitting there with a huge lead in front and you're a challenger, which is what makes this race so interesting right now in Pennsylvania, that Tom Wolf has had this lead and he's pretty much held it throughout the campaign. We're going to be talking about that in programs to come. Katie Culinary is a reporter for WHYY and State Impact Pennsylvania. Thanks much for being here today for this edition of Ballot Talks.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm Jeff Brady, filling in for Marty Moskowain.